Let's all turn the Bibles to Exodus. Exodus chapter 40. In the Old Testament and all through the Bible, one of the distinctives of the Bible is that God's presence is a central theme of Scripture. And one of the great times in the Bible is when they had the tabernacle. This is a picture of the tabernacle here. And you just realize that God wanted to dwell among us. with us. He wanted His presence to be here, and He wanted us to know it. And it's exciting to see that this is His desire, and He says, I want y'all to be near me. In Exodus chapter 40, I'm going to go through a lot of scriptures this morning, and if you would like to catch up, you want to write some of these down, or just go on the computer and look up the Ark of the Covenant or Ark of the Testimony, all these verses, because I am flowing through a lot of Exodus and Samuel and Chronicles and just getting the flow and the placement and the journey of the Ark of the Covenant, because God wanted His people to know that He was present. And that was the distinctive thing with Israel. All the nations around them knew that these people had a God that was with them and fought for them. They didn't understand it. They won wars that they should not. They got deliverance that shouldn't have happened. They're blessed by God. God's on their side. And that was the only thing that distinguished them. And God was there in chapter 40, verse 1. Moses is talking, and verse 2 is, on the first day of the month, the tabernacle was set up in the congregation. Verse 3, look at it. And they put the ark of the testimony in the tabernacle. I have a picture of the ark here. Let's put that up. The measurements of the ark. It was not too big. It was only like 2 feet and 3 inches, okay, by 2 feet and 3 inches, okay, and about 47 inches long. Huh? Wasn't too big. Then it had the angels on top. And the angels, it says, covered the whole thing. Covered the whole thing. And God dwelt between the angels. And you realize God's here. I'll put those there. God's here. I have a picture of it here that somebody purchased for me. And this is the Ark of the Covenant. And the angels were on top. And I do believe they covered the whole thing, so they're as big. But it's not very big. It's not a very big box. Okay? And God dwelt on top of that box on the mercy seat, the lid. Huh? That's where God dwelt. And my, to catch that. Chapter 40, verse 38. Chapter 40, verse 38. I want you all to look at it. Chapter 40, verse 38. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and the fire was on it by night in the sight of all the people, all the house of Israel, throughout all their journey. Now, do you catch it? By day, there was a cloud right there. You could see it. By night, there was fire there, and you could see it, and you knew God was here, and you realized God's here. God's here. And in Exodus, you don't have to turn there, Exodus 25, 28, it says, and let them make a sanctuary, a tabernacle, a tent, that I may dwell among them. That God's here. God's here. In Exodus 30, verse 6, very similar, it says, and thou shalt put it before the veil that is by the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet with thee. Woo! And if you had the visual presence of God with you every day and every night, do you think you would start taking it for granted? No. There it is again. Do you think people that live in Clearwater, Florida, where my daughter lives, forgets that there is a beautiful ocean and a beautiful water everywhere around them? They do. Do most people that live in Florida go to the beach? No. Only who goes to the beach? A us northerners, stupids, okay? We go to the beach, okay, and get burnt, okay? They don't appreciate. After a while, you don't appreciate it. When I'm down there, I'm looking at all of the palm trees, and I'm enjoying all the water, and it's just everywhere. And you're driving across it, and you're going, whoa, whoa, whoa. But after a while, once you drive across it, after a while, what? It's just as boring as our flat land. Okay? How could God's people take this for granted, huh? I wanted to touch you this morning. They could see God. And you realize, how could you do that? They went through the Jordan River. The Jordan River is nothing like the Red Sea. The Red Sea is pretty massive, pretty big. The Jordan River is just a small river. When we were there, it's the river, it's wide, where we were, was only as wide as from here to there. Okay, it was just a small creek, okay? But you couldn't pass it, you know. And it opened up, and they walked through on dry ground. And you realize, how could they do that? All through Joshua chapter 3, it was just wonderful. And they picked up the stones at the end, and they said, God's here! You know, and they piled those stones up, and it says, tell your generation that God's here! And then they took the Ark of the Covenant and marched around Jericho. Is that right? And here all these people in Jericho watching these Israelites with not a big army marching around one day, one time. Is that right? Another day. And on the seventh day, they marched around how many times? Seven times. And they blew the trumpet. God had it all planned. And they had the Ark of the Covenant ahead of them. And they blew the trumpets and the walls fell down. And God showed up, and they realized God's here. I want us to catch that God's here all the time, not just to survive, but to thrive. If God's going to show up at VBS, He's got to show up today. He's got to show up in your life this week. Is that right? And if you're not careful, you know, you read the Bible yesterday, why read it today? You know, you prayed yesterday. Let me tell you, don't just be content with prayers and just your prayer time without you believing and reviewing the answers from yesterday and believing the answers that are coming today. And when you read the Bible, that it's just not, well, you read that yesterday, wow. No, God spoke to me yesterday, and God's going to speak to me today. That He's going to show up, and He's going to use me. Now, I came here a Friday night to check up on, not check up on, but just to enjoy the teens and all of their events. And I want you to know the adults that helped in it. That's for you to wake up. Okay. And I drove out in the parking lot, and there was a car back there, and I was wondering, who's in the car back here? And I drove up, my window was down, and he was right there, and I knew the guy. And he got out, and he and I talked. Was that a God moment? Yeah. It was cool. I was sitting there. I was about ready. What you doing back here, boy? You know. Then I realized who it was, and I go, oh, wow, how you doing? Me and him had a good talk. I hadn't talked with him for 2, 3, 4 years. And I realized, wow, God had me to drive back. I don't know why I'd drive back there. You know, but God was there. I just love it when God shows up. When I'm doing something kind of stupid sometimes, and God shows up. I want that to happen. I don't want it just to walk through life. I want God to show up. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 4. 1 Samuel chapter 4. God shows up in this life here. Come and read it for us, please. 1 Samuel chapter 4.
And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched before Ebenezer, and the Philistine pitched in Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines. And they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. And when the people were coming to the camp, the elders of Israel said, "Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies." So the people sent to Shiloh, that they might bring from thence the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims. And the sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the ark of the covenant of God. And when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, "What meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews?" And they understood that the ark of the Lord had come into the camp. And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, "God is come into the camp." And they said, "Woe unto us, for there hath not been such a thing heretofore. Woe unto us, who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians in all the plagues in the wilderness."
Here the ark was lost, and they were in war, and they lost the battle, and the ark wasn't with us, and they said, "Oh, why isn't God giving us victory? The ark's not here. Go fetch the ark." How could you forget the ark? How could you forget the fire of God every day? I don't understand that. And to realize, wow, we must thrive. We must thrive. We must not just survive, not just come to church, not just read our Bibles, not just go through life. We must thrive. And that thriving comes from seeking it, fearing it, repenting before it, sacrificing everything to it, and rejoicing in it, okay? And it's so important that we grasp that and realize, but then the war comes and they capture the ark. And here the glory had departed, chapter 4, verse 22 of 1 Samuel. And the glory had departed, for the ark had been taken. And why? Where? And then it came back, and they were shouting and praising God, and they realized God's here. And it says in verse 5 that all of Israel shouted with a great shout, and the ground shook. It was massive. They rejoiced. How could they let it be captured again? They allowed the Philistines to come in, and the ark was captured again. And you realize, what's going on? And God says in verse chapter 6 of 1 Samuel, "Let's go get the ark again." And they went down and got the ark and brought it back. And they sacrificed and they burned offerings. Does it take sacrifice to rejoice in God? You got to seek God. You got to fear God. But then you got to repent and you got to sacrifice. It's got to cost you something. If it doesn't cost you anything, you'll never experience the joy, the rejoicing. You can't hoopla. I don't know who you're for Cleveland or the Warriors, okay? But here we sit and watch it. And if they win, we hoopla a little bit. Who does the most hoopla when you win a game? The players. And boy, basketball has came a long way since I played. You know, I didn't think they'd ever call a foul, you know. They got beat up, did they? Beat up. It cost them. Does it cost us something? Every time they realize, we're in trouble, we're about to die, we're being conquered by the Philistines from other nations, and they burnt offerings and sacrificed it, and there is a sacrifice, and in 1 Samuel chapter 7, they said, "Let us return to the Lord, let us return, and put away your gods," 1 Samuel chapter 7, put them away, and they put them away. Go to 1 Chronicles 13, I'm going to close here at 1 Chronicles 16. David in 1 Chronicles 13, they were seeking the ark. And they said, we must thrive. We must thrive with the ark here. And he sought, you know, let us bring it up again. Let's, you know, God, in days of Saul, they hadn't inquired of God. We got to start talking to God. The ark's not here. Let's go after the ark. In verse 8, it said that the ark was coming up and they were rejoicing and they were playing music and singing and tambourines and trumpets and everything and harps. And then Uzzah, what did Uzzah do? He thought the ark was dropping and he tried to catch it. And what happens when you touch the ark? Because God said what? Don't do it. Does God mean what he says? I want you to see in 1 Chronicles chapter 13, a very disturbing verse, verse 12. Everybody look at it. 1 Chronicles 13, verse 12. It said, David was afraid of God that day. Before you can rejoice in the things of God, you got to seek God, but secondly, you got to fear God. Does God mean what he says? Does God mean what he says in taking communion? Well, you should fear God in taking communion, because there's a blessing in taking it, but there's a curse in false taking it. There, God, and he was afraid of God that day. He wasn't quite sure if we should bring the ark, so he sent it to another man's house for a couple months to see if God was going to curse. He was afraid. I don't think we have enough fear of God today where we realize that his word is true. When David was getting ready to bring it back, he says, now, let's make sure that nobody carries the ark but the Levites. And nobody touches the ark. You only carry it by what? The staves. He says, let's do it God's way. And he says, man, so he was afraid of God. And in chapter 15 of 1 Chronicles, they bring it back and he says, sanctify yourself. Verse 12, verse 14 in 1 Chronicles 15. Sanctify yourself. Become holy. You know, repent. Deal with your sins. This is serious business. If I want God to show up tomorrow in my devotions and show up this weekend when I'm trying to pray for somebody or minister to somebody or help somebody or care for somebody, I got to seek him every day. I got to fear him, realize that he means what he says. And then I got to repent of my sins. And God, help me here. The joy came in chapter 15 of 1 Chronicles. This is where David dances before God and shouts and screams. Before you can dance before God, you got to be seeking him. You got to be afraid of him. And you got to be repenting. And you got to be sacrificing. It's got to cost you something. Then you can rejoice. You just can't, you know, I can celebrate for a team, but if I didn't put any energy into it, it's just worthless. There's like a little celebration. No, David, they are people had died and people had been slaughtered, 4,000. And then you realize that, man, this cost, and God took Uzzah, and man, God means what he says. And this isn't just flippant. This is God. And God says, you take me serious. You got to seek my presence. You got to fear my presence. Don't take it lightly. You got to repent of your sins. And you got to sacrifice. It's going to cost you something. It's just not an easy thing. It's everything. You give everything. Everything's God. Every time's God. All you have's God. Everything's for God. And he says, make this happen, that it's a thrilling thing for you to realize that God's here. 1 Chronicles 16. Everybody turn there because I'm closing with this. 1 Chronicles 16. You encounter God. You encounter his presence. And you realize God's here. In 16, we see the presence of God flowing. And they bringing the ark up in verse 1. In verse 4, they're praising God. In verse 6, this is 1 Chronicles 16. The trumpets are continually rejoicing and praising God and showing God was everything was doing. And then verse 7, David writes a psalm. psalm. It's kind of neat here. And this is a psalm. Verses 8 and on is a psalm. Very close to Psalm 96 and Psalm 105. But in verse 8, start reading there. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 8. He starts praising God and thanking God, singing to God. Verse 9, for all of His wonders. Verse 10, glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek God. That's where you got to seek after God. Verse 11, seek His face. Verse 25, fear Him. It says, for great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. And then in verse 29, there is both sacrifice, they bring offerings, and holiness, there is repentance. Verse 29. Do you know how many offerings Solomon, when he brought the ark into the temple in Jerusalem, when he built Solomon's temple, it says that he slaughtered that day in offerings to God 22,000 oxen. Now that's a lot of beef. That's a lot of cows. Killed them and slaughtered them before God to make known that we mean business. This is going to cost us. And then I think it says they slaughtered 130,000 sheep. Now that's a lot of sacrifice. How much are we sacrificing? How much are we offering? How much are we giving? And to realize you can't have the awesome, thrilling presence without God and get over just going through the motions. You got to seek Him. You got to fear Him. You got to repent before Him. You got to sacrifice everything. And then you rejoice. But until you do those four, don't look to have a party, because it's just not a party. It's something that is awesome, and you realize God is here, and this is wonderful. So many times we forget that it's just commonplace, and or we just start taking it for granted, or we just start thinking, this isn't really something that could grab me and say, I just need you, because we get familiar, it becomes ordinary, it becomes same old, same old. We have with us Liam today, Andrew's oldest son. You know, I get excited about grandkids. Okay. Do I have to keep my excitement for my grandkids something that I work at? Huh? It's just not, you know, I don't get too excited when they hand me one of them with a dirty diaper. I have to, hey, I want you to know I think I've changed one or two diapers. And you have to realize you have to seek them, you have to want to be around them, is that right? You have to realize, wow, I need to take care of these kids. Somebody's got to train these kids. You know, they're fragile sometimes, they're real small sometimes, and I got to get my selfishness out of the way, and I need to realize I'll sacrifice everything for them, is that right? Sacrifice, I'll give, and then I can enjoy. If I don't give them anything or do anything around them or respect them or seek to be around them, I can't enjoy them. And that's with God. He wants us to encounter His presence. And it's wonderful to realize, God, You're here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. It's going up there. Put it up there. Let's read it. Let's read it together. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Let's read it together. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. In the Old Testament, God dwelt between the cherubs in the tabernacle on the ark, and they dwelt right here. In the New Testament, where does He dwell? Wow. If you're a Christian, you have the presence of God with you. Is that where God dwells? And it's so important that we realize that God's here. Turn with me to John chapter 14, just real quick. I want to catch you the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. We need to understand the Holy Spirit. We want the Holy Spirit to hear our prayers, to speak to us when we read the Bible, to help us as we go to work, go to school, go to the store, use us when we're trying to bless somebody, encourage somebody, help somebody. That's His job. Is He always doing His job? Yes. But you got to seek it. You got to fear it. Should you fear the Holy Spirit that He's so powerful and all that? Yes. Now you should respect Him and love Him and draw and all that. But, whoa, I need to watch my flesh. Is that right? Whoa, I need to seek the presence of the Holy Spirit to fear it. I need to repent of my sins. And then I need to sacrifice everything. I need to give everything. And then I can rejoice in Him. John chapter 14, verse 17, it says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth in you, and shall be, He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Verse 26, John chapter 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things. That's what He's doing. And bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. He'll bring the Bible to your remembrance. Now you still have to seek Him and fear Him and repent and sacrifice to rejoice, okay? But that's His job. Verse 27, it says, peace I leave unto you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. Come on, be at peace. The Holy Spirit's with you. Chapter 15, verse 5, look at it. Chapter 15, John 15, verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do, but with me you can do what? I want that. I want that. Verse 15, John 15, 15. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known unto you. Is He teaching us all the time? It's knowable. It's manifest. God wants us to understand Him. So study. So seek His presence. Fear, respect, love. Repent of your sins. Sacrifice everything so that you can joy in His presence. And then it says, John 15, verse 16, it says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth much fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you'll ask in my name, according to my will, I'll give it to you. Then our prayers come alive, huh? That's the Holy Spirit's job. Verse 26, chapter 15. Chapter 14, 15, 16 is the Holy Spirit text of John. Verse 26 of chapter 15. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send to you from my Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me. He's going to talk about Jesus. That's all He's going to talk about. Chapter 16, verse 7, nevertheless, chapter 16, verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. Verse 8, and it says, and when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. Verse 9, of sin because they believe not. He's going to convict sinners to get saved. Of righteousness, truth, holiness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Jesus was the full expression of righteousness. Of judgment, because the prince, the devil, of this world is judged. He's going to convict sinners to get saved. Aren't you glad when you witness somebody that it's not you, it's him? It's the Holy Spirit's job. Verse 13, how be it? Chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into how much truth? for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that he shall speak, and he shall show you things to come. Verse 14, he shall glorify me, Jesus said, for he shall receive of mine, of Jesus, and shall show it unto you. My, that's the Holy Spirit's job. Chapter 15, verse 11. Everybody turn there. We're closing right here. Chapter 15, verse 11. 15:11, John 15:11, it says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be what? That God shows up. I want God to show up in VBS. Is that right? I want Him to show up. But before He's going to show up in VBS, He's got to show up in your life every day. Do you know why people come to Christ that you talk to? It's because you show them a life that God shows up. You show them a life today. God talked to me out of the Bible today. Whoa, I want that. God answered my prayers. I want that. God used me here. I was going to purchase this, but God just showed me I should purchase this over here. And God was leading me here. God led me here. God comforted me here. God gave me peace here. Is that right? God's in my life. It's just not me. God shows up. That's what we got to have. I want that. And I just can't rejoice. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. You know, I just can't muster it up. I got to seek Him with all my soul. I got to fear Him. I got to repent of my sins. And I got to sacrifice everything. And then joy will come to my soul. His presence, His peace, His truth, His leading, His guiding, His answers of prayer, His teaching me from the Word of God, Him using me. Little old me, huh? Wow. God showing up. My prayer is God shows up in your life this week in so many areas. Because when God shows up in your life, people will want what you've got. That's it. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, help us to realize that the Ark of the Covenant was where God dwelt in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, He dwells in us. And as powerful as the Ark of the Covenant was, we are that powerful. And Lord, help us to not just survive, not just play church, just not coast, not commonplace. Always coming to church should be the thrill of thrills. God's going to meet with us. God's going to talk to me. God's going to teach me. God's going to answer my prayers. God's going to bless me with my brothers and sisters. God's going to show up. Lord, help us to have God to show up in our devotions every day, in us going to work every day, in our activities every day. Help us to know that we got to seek Him. We got to fear Him. We got to repent. We have to sacrifice, and we got to rejoice because God's here. Lord, bring that alive in every person here this morning, this week. Teenager, adult, older adult. God, do it. Do it. Do it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.